T-Mobile.
How was the beach trip? N4ZLK.
Oh, it was just fine and dandy. And we had a good time. Yeah, it was a big family get together. This place had 7 bedrooms and an elevator. And the best part about it is on the beach. The best part about it was I didn't have to pay a dime for it, so not that I didn't offer, but anyway, that's about all I can say about that, but we had a good time.
There when that storm moved up the coast?
That's a negative. I'm not really sure about the storm, so I don't know if we were there before or after, but anyway, yeah, it was nice. It was cold, but of course we didn't go to to swim in the ocean or anything.
Sunbathing either.
Got a little windburn, but I don't know if we got any sunburn. Especially, I believe my recollection's clear. I think it was cloudy every day we were there. And but anyway, it was a celebration of my mother-in-law's 85th birthday, and you know, she might not be with us that much longer, so we just wanted to do that for her. And got to see my cousin Diane, that I haven't seen in about 3 years, and they live at Owl Palms now, and they still have a house in Greenville. And but anyway, so I got to see her, and that was good, because I really miss seeing Diane. We used to see a lot more of each other when I was younger, but, you know, life gets in the way.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you got to see her. I need to jump out. I just back to a dock. I got to swap a trailer, and then I'll be back in here in a few minutes if you're still going to be around. If not, good to hear you tonight, and have a good evening. It'll probably take me maybe 5 minutes. N4ZLK.
No, I'll be here at least another 10, I imagine. All right, KB4CPA Mobile.
Quick rock around, make sure no tires are flat and all the lights are working, and that's all it takes.
So, a flat tire would be a kind of a bummer. Oh, me. I remember I stopped next to a trucker one day on 291, and I told him, I said, you know, you're dragging a flat, and he said, yeah. He didn't care. I guess he knew when he got up to highway speeds, it would come apart, and you know, wasn't anything he could do about it, evidently. So he just kept on going.
Pulled him around here with a flat, not realizing it until I got where I was going. You know, they don't always break apart on the road. They can actually cause a fire if you're going down highway speeds for a long period of time. Just around town, it's not that big of a deal. because you got three other tires on that one side, so generally, I mean, it needs to be taken care of.
What's the, I like to watch the air disasters that they show on TV, and they show one where, I don't know what kind of jet it was. It was a four-engine jet, and they had about, I think, 258 people on board, and somebody doctored the report for the tire pressure so that they could take off, and they had a couple of tires that were low, and they used nitrogen, and they didn't have any, so and they couldn't get any. Tried to get some from another company, you know, that was there, and they wouldn't give them any, so they just let the plane take off, and they changed the air pressures on the report, so, you know, the pilot would think everything was okay. And so the tires blew on takeoff, and they caught one of the rims was actually dragging on the runway and made a flat spot on it, and but the tires caught fire going down the runway. This is not really funny. And so when they pulled the wheels up after they took off, they pulled the fire up into the fuselage, and then it burned through into the passenger compartment, and the plane was basically just a ball of flame flying through the air. They never made it back to the airport, and almost made it back, but they didn't quite make it back. But if they had, probably wouldn't have made any difference. But anyway, they crashed, and I think everyone was killed, and that was really sad.
That's why those inspections, pre-flight inspections and all that, that's why they're so strict on them. And boy, I hope those people that fudge the numbers got in trouble.
Never really said, you know, you would hope that they lost their jobs and they would never be allowed to work on an airplane again. I couldn't in good conscience let a plane take off. I mean, when I worked on cars, that was one of my things. I mean, of course, that was one of the things we had to check. We had like a 28-point inspection, and tire pressure was one of them. And that's how you found screws and nails in tires, because you'd go around and all of them would be the same pressure except for one, and it would be low, a lot lower, usually 15, 20 pounds. And so I found them lower than that. And and that's the one that, you know, had something in it. So 99% of the time, people let you, you know, plug the tire. And unless it was in the sidewall, we couldn't plug it. Can't plug a sidewall, but oh me. But anyway, I bet I've plugged 1,000 tires in my lifetime.
Done several too. We between my wife's car and my truck, probably 6-8 months ago, I plugged two of hers and one of mine within probably 3 weeks. I have no idea where we were picking that stuff up from, but haven't had it since. But man, it was, in fact, well, one of them was so bad I actually had to replace the tire. It's a big piece of screw that, or a bolt that had a nut on it too, but it still went through the tire. I don't know what happened, but it did so much damage. I tried to plug it and it wouldn't hold. But I have plugged many a tire. But yeah, if I was going on the road, you know, tonight, I would have taken a lot longer to do a more thorough pre-trip. But this trailer was just brought down here last night by somebody else who looked at it, and it sat all day, so not much could happen to it. And now I'm taking it right back, you know, less than 10 miles, so it's just a real quick drop and hook and go.
Well, that's good. Well, since I came out with, you know, battery operated stuff, somebody used a real heavy duty staple gun and put a staple in my youngest daughter's, one of her tires on her Honda, in the sidewall. And of course, that leaves two punctures, not one. And of course, being in the sidewall, you can't plug it. And so I had to buy her a tire. But it made me so mad. I wish I had known who that punk was, because I'd like to throw in a paper bag over his head and beat the crap out of him. But, I mean, that just ain't no sense, stuff like that. You know, I don't know what she did to make him mad, but I just can't imagine.
Sir, because that's your family you're talking about, and, you know, she could be going down the road at highway speed and cause a blowout. I don't take to that. I would have trouble restraining myself. How about that?
For me, but don't mess with my wife or my two daughters. I mean, you know, because I can get in the flesh real quick. I just don't like them being messed with. Well, I did some FTA this afternoon, early this afternoon. My grandsons came over, but I got in a little FTA before they got there mostly on 20 and 40 meters, mostly 40, boy, I tell ya. There was just people all over the place, and I think I made a couple of a good contacts, and it's amazing. I tell you, FT8's just kind of consumed me these last few weeks.
I heard you talking about it. I know you just recently got into it. That's good, though. I'm glad there's a lot of activity on there. It's, you know, I like searching the bands, but it's a whole lot more fun when there's actually activity on it and it's not dead.
Half of the fun part is finding a place to transmit, because sometimes you'll get on a band, and I usually start on some of the higher bands during the day, because they're not going to be as busy. And then I just go up, I go down, and of course, as you do, it gets busier and busier. I think when I got to either 20 or 40, it was just like unbelievable. I mean, there wasn't a space anywhere, so you just kind of had to wait till somebody quit transmitting, and you just had to jump in to that area and you know, click on a call that was up on your screen there that you wanted to make contact with. And so that part's a challenge when you have to hunt a place to transmit.
Blessing and a curse. There are people to make contact with, but there's so many you can't get in and break in the middle of them. But well, that's good. I'm glad you're enjoying them.
I'm making a lot more contacts in countries that I haven't talked to on sideband, and yeah, it's neat. Like Australia, I haven't made any voice contacts in Australia, and South Africa and the eastern side of Africa too, and it's very interesting, and down into South America, Chile, and it's just in places I've never heard of. I have to look them up on the map after I make contact with them to see where in the heck they where they were, because I've never heard of the place. So it turned out to be like a little island off the coast of Venezuela or something like that, you know, just places you'd never heard of.
Cool. Now, I'm just going to take a guess here because I don't know, but since I haven't operated FT8, do you run FT8 on the CW setting of the radio?
It's on the data. On the 7300, you have a, you know, it's a touch screen, so you hit data, and it goes to either, depending on what frequency band you're on, either upper sideband or lower sideband, and then it has a dash D letter delta, and that tells you you're in, you know, data mode. And of course, when you bring up the FT8 software, you'll hear your radio click, and that tells me that the software and the radio have, you know, are communicating with each other, and you'll start getting data on the receive side of the software. So, so you just have a data button there that you press.
Shows you how much I know. I guess you probably have to have a radio monitored enough to run that kind of stuff.
There's something that interfaces between the computer and the radio, and that's built into the 7300, so all I need is the cable, and I just plug it in the back of the 7300 and then run it the other end to USB, just plug it in the computer. And then I've got like a 45-inch old TV that I use for my main monitor, and then I use the computer for my login software. And I also have my, if I had a third screen, it'd be nice, but I also have my iPad with QRZ.com up, so, and I log in there to every contact I make. And that's, I guess I need to get a logbook of the world.
I'm a long way from getting into the data part of it yet. It sounds fun, but I need to put my HF antenna up at the house. I just haven't done it yet. I need to go ahead and do that soon. Anyway, Dave, it's good to talk to you tonight. I'm just about back to the building, and I'm going to drop this trailer and go home. So, glad to hear you, and you have a good evening. Good to hear you. N4ZLK 73.
Well, I'm sitting here at the sports club, so I got a game in 10 minutes. So I'll be playing tennis for the next hour and a half. But it's not too bad out here. It's not much of a breeze or anything, so the low temperature is not going to bother me as soon as I get warmed up, which won't take but about 2 or 3 minutes. All right, you have a good evening, 73s, and we'll talk to you later. Have a good evening, KB4CBA. Clear after yours.
Enjoy the tennis, and enjoy the cool air. KB4CBA, N4ZLK.